Welcome to the Ion Annapolis Local Business Spotlight. There are thousands of locally owned businesses in the area, some small and some large. Some you may know and others you don't. But one thing they all have in common is a great story, and we want to share it with you. Join us every Saturday as we talk to the founders, the owners, and the managers of local businesses you have come to know and love, and those you will come to know and love. Now here's your host, John Frenay, with this week's Local Business Spotlight.
Well, we are here with Catherine Burke, who is the owner of the Annapolis Collection Gallery, which is just a wonderful gallery located on Inner West Street. It's in part of the Inner West Street Association. They're at 55 West Street.
Right next to Tsunami.
The way you recognize them is they've got a black and white tile entry that says Salma.
Slama.
Slama.
The name of the people who owned that building from the early 1900s until about the mid-60s when they sold it. And it was a shoe store until the mid-70s when they finally sold it. They were no longer selling shoes. They were selling clocks.
Very cool. So yeah. Have you been yourself in the art world all your life? I mean, is that part of your...
No. I've been in this location, 55 West, for 14 years.
Congratulations.
I know. Thank you.
Anybody that makes it over five sometimes, you got to give them kudos. It's not easy owning your own business.
Well, the artists I have are amazing. I consider them masters because of their presence in places all over the world. One of them is Roxy Monroe. Roxy grew up in Shadyside, so she is a local. But she has done several children's book. Actually, she has an exhibit today that will be there throughout 2024 at the National Building Museum in D.C.
Oh, that's cool.
Yes. She's also done 14 covers for the New Yorker magazine. Now, being accepted to do one is awesome. But she's done 14. So, she's clearly a master. Her art is shown all over the country. She has a vast list of private collectors as well. So,
but how did you get into the art business yourself? Have you always been an aficionado?
Yeah, people do come into the gallery and say, well, where is your art? And I say, my art is in the bathroom where it belongs. Because the artists that show in the gallery are true masters. Anne Monroe Wood lives just three blocks from the gallery. She has oil paintings. She likes to study John Singer Sargent. So there's a piece in there in the gallery of it's called Beatrice Towson, a Sargent piece, and the original is in the National now. She also did a beautiful painting of John Paul Jones, which is in the gallery. So her art has shown in D.C. Actually, we did an exhibit aboard the Coast Guard Eagle.
That's awesome.
John Paul Jones was on an easel aboard that ship for a reception.
You know, it's funny, Catherine, you mentioned a couple times masters.
Yes.
And when I think of a master in the art world,
the old master,
I'm thinking of old dead guys.
Right. These are middle-aged white guys.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, Anne has been painting for several years. Greg Harlan is another master. His pieces are in the gallery. He does watercolors. Anne does oils. Greg does watercolors. We're getting ready to do four exhibits this year, four shows for him, promoting events that have happened in this country that tie into watercolors that he has done of those events. So we're doing four shows in 2024, and each show is going to focus on that time period that tie into his watercolors that we have in the gallery.
Let's see. Now, as far as what you sell, I mean, obviously it's a beautiful store to come in and browse around. Everything you have is for sale.
Is that my chair?
For the right price, you're probably.
Nope.
No.
Nope, it's going to be my tombstone. If you like that chair so much, you can come visit me and sit above my grave and enjoy the chair.
Fair enough. I mean, you've got originals, you've got prints, and pretty much everything, right? Because I know that, I mean, you were one of my stops on my Christmas list, and we were supposed to not go over the top as the rules, the marching orders that I had for gifts for my girlfriend. So I ended up purchasing
A J. Fleming. Her Red Hole.
His boats.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Fleming. I mean, he is a photographer.
Yes, he's not considered one of the masters. Jay Fleming is only 36 years old.
Right.
And his pieces are photographs on canvas. They are beautiful. People often try to copy and duplicate what he's done, but I have yet to see that happen. But he is a local photographer. I carry his collection of boat hulls
And they're beautiful.
And they're very popular. Yes.
Figured out just colorful boat holes with typically calm water just right off of the bow.
Yeah. His show is coming up April 20th, which is a Saturday, the day before the Spring Fling on West Street. His show is going to include his hauls, but we were also leading up to it having a caption contest online. He took some amazing pictures of three images when he was in the Galapagos Islands earlier this year. One is a blue-footed booby.
Of course.
The other is a smiling, happy iguana. And the third one is a sloth. And they're so on social media, the blasts are going out saying, caption this. And the caption that is selected wins a canvas signed by Jay, and they will receive it at his reception October 20th.
That's great. Folks, you should go to AnnapolisCollection.com to get an overview of what you have. But I would probably say the best way to do is to jump into 55 West Street and see Catherine and see what they've got there. And I've got sort of a question on your name. Your name is the Annapolis Collection Gallery. And are you an Annapolis Collection of Gallery focused on Annapolis? Because a lot of the stuff, whether it be the artist and the work that you have there, is, I'll say, fairly local, not specific to Annapolis. Or are you just a gallery that's located in Annapolis?
Well, if you go into Growl's Market here in Annapolis and you look up, you'll see about 30 huge, huge black and white pictures. And those are images of old Annapolis. That's from the collection that I have in the gallery. Some are Bodine images. People so often confuse Marion Warren with Charles Emery.
Okay.
When we were going through the Charles Emery collection, which was found by Emery's granddaughter, and she brought me those negatives 50 years after he died. When we were going through those negatives, we found pictures of Marion Warren finally on the other side of the camera because they worked together. There was a camera group that they started, which was located in the building that it was a restaurant when it was Dimitri's years and years ago, okay. Main Street.
That's way before my time, but yeah.
Yeah. So we have a very large collection of black and whites. We have quite a few of Bodine's, and we have all of the Charles Emery's. We have that collection. And they are in, actually, if you go to the lower level of the restaurant that used to be the PNC Bank,
the Aqua Album?
Aqua. Go below and the speakeasy.
Yeah.
All those black and whites I hung. It's all old Annapolis.
Well, I love looking at the photographs of old time Annapolis, and bodes well with all the crotchety old people on Facebook that say they miss the old Annapolis. But I mean, we evolve. I know somebody. I got into an argument with somebody that said, "Oh, I wish it was like it was the old day." I said, "Oh, you mean throwing like your sewage out into the?"
No. These are the good old days. We're still a bubble.
Tell me, I know you've got Greg Harlan, you said, has a whole bunch of stuff coming up, and you've got a whole bunch of events that are surrounding his work. I know the first one is probably going to be after we've recorded this. That's on March 23rd, but the rest are coming up on the
other. Yes, it's May 4th. May 4th is going to revolve around the story of our Constitution. That's when the delegates started coming to Philadelphia. That's when they started sitting down in Philadelphia and talked about how to rearrange the outline of our new country. That's in May. In September, that was when we had the Annapolis Convention. So that's September 14th. We will be showing watercolors that Greg did revolving around that event. October 19th is the main event showing Greg's work for the year. That is going to include his watercolor of the Peggy Stewart, the burning of the Peggy Stewart, the surrender at Yorktown, Burgoyne's invasion, and Shays' rebellion. All these happen in October between 1774 and 1786. Those are major events, and Greg Harlan has documented them in stunning watercolors.
What does an event look like when you put this on in your gallery?
Strawberries and wine and cream puffs.
Sold.
Oh, now Aaron Buchheiser, whose portrait is also in the gallery, he will be sitting up front at three of those events playing Bach on his classical guitar.
You seem, I mean, you jokingly said that, I said, are you the proprietress or proprietor? You said, well, goddess.
And that will be deleted.
No. It may or may not be. We'll see. But, okay. You know, I like to think that, you seem to have your fingers personally in everything that goes on this section of West Street. I mean, you're sort of like the grand dame of West Street, and you're involved in all of the events. I mean, you're really helping to push out the events. I know that you're the one, you'll call me and say, hey, we're having this cool thing. You've had some artists that come in through Ramstead that also paint. I think
that was amazing. Yeah.
And you ran the red carpet from Ramstead down to your gallery.
It was fun too. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, that was fun.
To do things. So, I mean, you were really sort of have your pulse on marketing and figuring out how.
No. That is simply someone doing things that you didn't realize you weren't supposed to do. You know how you do that. You just do something, you realize later, oh my gosh, I probably shouldn't have done that. Yeah.
Beg for forgiveness before asking for permission.
Oh, what a great motto. Yeah.
To a degree. Well, talk about some of your other masters that you've got. I mean, Jay Fleming, you said, is not considered a master.
He's,
right? Is he not considered a master because of his age, his duration, or his work?
His work, he's at photographs on canvas. He's very local.
But, I mean, do photographs exempt you from being a master artist?
Oh, no. I mean, Marion Warren would have been considered a master,
okay.
I think. But he hasn't shown at any museums. Chicago, Greg Harlan has worked in the Chicago Field Museum and has worked in D.C. He's done 14 covers for The New Yorker. Jay Fleming is just starting out. He's also focusing on documenting the history of watermen on the East Coast, which is all fantastic. But his achievements have not reached the caliber of the other artist.
Okay.
He's wonderful, and I'm sure he will be there one day. But in my gallery, no, I don't consider him an Annapolis master.
Who are your other ones? You've got, I think, was Rick Caselli?
Rick Caselli, yes. Rick Caselli's. We have his sculptures in the gallery. The one in the window, one of my favorites, is Lady Chesapeake. Beautiful sculpture. A woman, and her crown is made of oyster shells.
I'll have to check that out when we go downtown. It's funny you talk about your window. I remember during one of the Fringe Festivals, you had Walker Babington.
Yes.
In your window spitting.
On all fours. He was in the window on all fours, and he was spitting wine onto a very high-quality piece of watercolor paper. And when he was finished...
Abraham Lincoln?
No, that was William Paca.
Okay. I knew it was some historic...
It's beautiful. Beautiful. And we also had one of the festivals. We had a woman, a lovely young lady, having her body painted.
In the window?
In the window, yes. A naked woman having her body painted. That drew a lot of attention. It was fascinating watching men come by and pretend like they didn't see it, but really they did see it, but they were not sure. Yeah.
You know what I like? I love that West Street takes chances. I remember way back when Tsunami had first opened up, they had and it probably was during the Fringe Festival, but they had, again, a naked person with a sushi buffet on the naked body.
Body, yeah. Yes.
Ramshead was one of the first ones to come in with a drag brunch.
Yep.
A little bit risque at that point.
We've done some awesome drag shows on the street. One of them, yes.
Well, you had a drag show last year at one of the final dinner under the...
Masquerade Ball.
Yes. Yeah. Back in October.
Mm-hmm.
What are you selling? Are you selling originals? Are you selling prints?
Greg Harlan's originals. People are intrigued by his originals because they have to do with history. And there's a painting, a watercolor he just finished, which is Lafayette's Encampment on Spa Creek. He did another watercolor of showing Washington resigning his commission in the State House.
Okay.
He did a painting of the delegates here in Annapolis at Mann's Tavern. That was the content of Congress before they went to Philadelphia.
Mann's Tavern, that was on Condo Street? It's a Granger Lodge or something. It's a lodge now.
Well, that part remained. The hotel itself was destroyed by fire. And we have a picture of that before it was destroyed by fire. That's where Washington and the delegates met.
And drank.
Why not? cheers to the Patriots. We also did, and I'm looking forward to this. Apparently, I've heard that, The Burning of the Peggy Stewart is a watercolor that Greg did. It's a stunning watercolor of The Burning of the Peggy Stewart. And my understanding is, rumor has it, it's going to be reenacted in 2 years, celebrating the anniversary of The Burning of the Peggy Stewart. And it'll be done in the harbor here at City Dock.
I had heard that. I heard that. Yeah. Already had conversations with the owner of...
Peggy Stewart House?
Peggy Stewart House to participate in that.
Fantastic. That'd be great, yeah.
I love it when history comes to life.
Yes.
You are a living museum when you go into your store.
A lot of people do comment on that, which is nice. I just, there's one Bodine picture of ladies who, it was 1959, they had just graduated from Maryland Hall when it was the Annapolis High School, and they're walking down Cornhill Street learning how to be tour guides, and they have come in over the years and have identified themselves in the Bodine picture.
So back from the 50s, there's
1959.
So they were
Actually, it started when John Hammond, one of his kids, was getting married.
Okay.
And he invited guests who came in from out of town. Four ladies came in the gallery, and I guess they were looking for something to do before the wedding. And they said, oh, that picture, that is Tom Stoddart. He was the lead in our senior play. So I put his name on a piece of white tape next to his face. And then it went from there. It just eventually, most of the women had identified themselves. At one point, I had that picture in the front window of the gallery. A lady walked by and said, that's me. Why is my name not there? So I said, well, you have to come in and tell me who you are.
And we'll get a piece of tape with your name on it.
But there was one picture we have. We have some old pictures from the Charles Emery. There was two adorable little kids walking down Fleet Street carrying a crab basket filled with Christmas gifts. And I was told it was Johnny and Jody Wade. They lived on Fleet Street. They were carrying a basket. So I put their names, white tape, on in front of each little head. And people loved it. And one day a man came in and said, I like your pictures. And I said, very proudly, because I knew what I was talking about. Oh, yes, that's Johnny and Jody Wade. And he said, well, that may be Johnny, but that's not Jody. I said, well, how do you know this? He said, because it's Charlie. And I know because I'm Charlie. So one of the brothers had come in from, he was living out in the Midwest. He came into Annapolis for a family event, saw the picture, and then corrected the identity that it was him and his brother Johnny, not Jody.
That's fantastic.
Yes, those are great stories. And people come in and tell me who they are. It is, because you do hear a lot of history from locals who come back and say, I remember when.
What's your favorite part of owning the business?
I enjoy learning more and more about the history of the people of the town and being told stories that bring back the old Annapolis. But I also love the new Annapolis. There are some changes I look forward to seeing.
One other thing that I wanted to talk about is I know that you were fairly vocal on the art to be in the middle of the circle up here at Westgate Circle. And it was not so much on the art. I will give you credit. It was on the process. If you right now, being the goddess, were able to put whatever art you wanted in that circle at Westgate Circle, which is in front of the Westin Hotel, what would Catherine Burke put in there?
I put the founding fathers that were involved, that lived here and grew up here during when our country was being formed.
That was a quick answer.
They are nowhere to be seen. And this is Annapolis. This is a historic town.
And the founding fathers were Peka.
Well, there was also Thomas Stone from the South, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Southern Maryland.
And we're the only state that has four founding fathers.
We are. And some of the arguments say, well, we can't do that because they were slave owners. There were lots of people who owned slaves. So that we're not denying. The idea is not to ignore them because they did, but to acknowledge them for what they did and the fact that, yes, they owned slaves. That was history. And to explain to people today why that is no longer considered acceptable, why we realize now how horrible it was. It's history, not to be ignored, but to be...
You know, I think we're going to agree on this, and we're getting a little bit off topic, but mm-hmm. I know when the Roger Taney statue came down.
Yes.
And there was a big conversation, and I have no problem saying that, you know, that Dred Scott decision was the worst, one of the worst and everything else. But there was somebody, and I can't remember there was an architect in town that had what I thought was a great idea. I said, let's take Taney off center, let's put him off to the right, and turn him 90 degrees. Let's commission another statue of Frederick Douglass.
Excellent.
Set him on the opposite side, facing Taney, sitting, Douglass standing, and in the middle put a plaque explaining what it is. And I'm like, this is awesome, because you're able to turn around and say, okay, hey, we've got a really dark side, you know, time in our country, a dark side of our history. We've hopefully outgrown that. And here's the guy that contributed to the dark side, and here's the guy that helped abolish it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's where we are. Understand where we come from.
And another alternative with having just the founding fathers, we could have Anne Catherine Green, a woman who
the original publisher of the capital.
Yes, yes. You could have Frederick Douglass, who lived here for a while, it was involved. And you could have William Peka or...
Yeah, anybody. You could have Hammond Harwood, any of those folks. Sally, you're like getting ready to build a cocktail party out there in the middle of the circle with all the people out there.
Yeah, we need some party lights.
I like your idea.
John, I was not upset with the process. I wasn't really aware of the process. What I was upset about were the solutions that came up, the solutions that AIPPC accepted as art. That's what I was upset about.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't aware of the process at all until I started listening to a couple of the commission meetings when you could watch them online.
Right. Well, they're pushed the reset button on that, and hopefully the next time around we'll have something a little bit able to see what they
do. I think a little bit more transparency and understanding of how the whole process works. There's a new commission, so I think that results will probably be possible. We'll wait and see.
Well, what are your hours of operation? When can we come in and visit you?
Monday through Friday from 1 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And Saturdays from 11 to 7 and Sundays 11 to 5.
And I will say that my time being in there, that there is something for everybody in there. You can find something that's not horribly, horribly expensive.
The least expensive is $20.
Okay.
Which are the 8x10s Bodine images.
And then you got your chair, which is not for sale, and that's priceless.
This is true.
You know, you've got all sorts of different, you know, mm-hmm. from sizes and everything else and the different masters that you've got that mm-hmm. you basically focus on. Those six
yes.
is the core of your business mm-hmm. as well. And then, you know, I know I love looking through your flat files.
The flat files, yes. Yeah.
You can just really get a history of Annapolis and what the
thank
town
you.
Was.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoy it. That's nice to hear. That's nice to hear.
What do most people don't know about Annapolis Collection Gallery? What are people surprised at when they come in?
Some think it's also an antique gallery, but the furnishings simply followed me. It's not an antique gallery. They just happen to be there. There is one very large mirror that I found in an old barn when I was 17, and that is there in the gallery. Actually, that mirror is the reason I got a driver's license, because I had to get it out of the barn, yes.
How long have you been in Annapolis? I mean,
since 88. No. I would say since 88.
When did you open up the Annapolis Collection?
Actually, I started with the Women's Commission. They did a publication of Women in Business, and I saw it and I thought, because prior to that, I was with a publishing company in D.C.
Oh.
So I thought, so I gave them a proposal, and we did four editions of the Women in Business for the Anne Arundel County Women's Commission. From that came a book. Oh, a gentleman, Philip Brown, came to me and asked me to help him with his book, which we published, which is The Other Annapolis, which is a history of the blacks growing up in Annapolis from 1900 to 1954. And when I did that reception, we had huge images of old Annapolis from that book. In a reception, they were on folding banners throughout the room, the main room at the Quiet Waters Park. One of the guests there was Mame Warren, and she was about to leave town because she was relocating down to Virginia. So a few days later, Marion Warren came to my office, to my door, and he came in and started talking to me and telling me that he wanted some help marketing. I remember thinking to myself, oh my God, Marion Warren is standing in front of me. Oh, my God. Marion Warren is standing in front of me and asking me for help. So I thought at that point, there wasn't any, the internet was new. So I said, well, we can do, at that point, he had pictures on buses all over the place. So I said, there's something I can do for you. I mean, someone's taking care of you, but we can do a website. So we started a website and we're selling art online from this website. Then an article came out in the Washington Post. A picture that he took of the bathers in Ocean City was on the cover of the Washingtonian magazine, the Washington magazine for the Sunday.
Sure.
And from that, calls came in from outside Annapolis. People wanted to see the pictures. They didn't want to just buy them online. So I went to Mary and I said, I need one picture to hang on a wall. And that was the beginning of his gallery.
That's a great story.
And he used to come into the gallery then with boxes of silver gelatins, and he would put them out on the table and tell me what they were, tell me stories. And I said, well, you need to sign it. And at one point, there were so many, I said, Marion, please, you have to be a bit more careful. These are Super Gelatins by Marion Warren.
You know, I'd say one of my favorite picture of Marion Warren's that I've seen is so Annapolis. And it's, I know he used to put like a ladder on top of his
bed. Oh, yes. He always had a ladder.
Yep. To get higher.
Elevation, yes.
And I'm thinking he's probably down on maybe the corner of East Street or something like that. But there's a car parked on State Circle.
We have that in the gallery, yeah. And the question
is, and there's a cop writing a ticket for him.
Or is it a chauffeur for Katharine Hepburn?
I like to think it was a cop writing a ticket because that's a little bit more Annapolis than Katharine Hepburn, although she did stay here.
Yeah, she would visit her cousins who lived at the bottom of State Circle.
Right, right.
But then why didn't she park in front of the building? Yeah, this was...
I wouldn't put it past the city, though.
There's another picture at the bottom of Main Street, a Bodine at the bottom of Main Street, where there are four kids hanging out on the corner, and it's looking up Main Street. And if you look closely, there's a man writing a piece of paper next to the car parked at that corner, and you wonder, is he also writing a parking ticket, or is...
Yeah.
No.
Annapolis takes no prisoners when it comes to parking tickets. That's
true.
Sure. Well, I want to thank you so much for your time. I do encourage everybody to get into 55 West Street. Check out the Annapolis Collection Gallery in person or online at annapoliscollection.com. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for listening to this week's Local Business Spotlight. Please make sure to visit ionannapolis.net for all your local news, events, and opinion. And in case you haven't already, please subscribe to the Ion Annapolis Daily News Brief, where we bring you all the day's local news direct to your phone, tablet, or computer in about 10 minutes. It comes to you at 6 a.m. every Monday through Friday, and you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.